Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes, a weekly podcast for WWE fans with James Stewart and Mike Riley.
The Rock knows exactly who you are.
Available at 985thesportshub.com, bpodstudios.com, and the Sports Hub app.
Hi, how are you, honey?
Hello!
This is where Boston talks sports.
I'm overwhelmed.
Toucher and Rich.
You can eat a lot at one sitting.
985, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. I want to play a game. It's going to be very difficult. Bird has put up the most P-R-O-T-E.
No. You missed a letter.
Oh, P-R-O-C-T-E-D-I-C-E. Item is this, Fred, exclamation point.
On our call screener, it says Anna, and her call says the most proctodice item is this, Fred. Okay, let's guess before he tells us.
Yeah.
Protected?
I don't know how that would, the most protected item
is this, Fred. Proctodice, because it says proctodice.
Protected, but there's no, it's not, because he would know that it's ED.
Provocative? Is that what he was trying?
Provocative.
There's not a V in there.
I understand that, but I think he was going for provocative. That's my guess.
All right. I'm going with protected, even though it doesn't really make sense. Bird, what were you trying to type there?
The eagle is right. Prosthetic.
On the ball, everybody is paying attention.
Hang on. Okay. All right. Okay, so...
Well, I think we've all found out. I nailed it.
So Bird. All right. So what you wrote was, in your mind, the most prosthetic item is this, Fred.
Yes.
What does that even mean?
She's going to explain it.
So many.
How could be something more prosthetic than something else? If something's prosthetic, it's prosthetic. Oh,
no. When did John say prosthetic?
No. I did. You guys are talking about prosthetic stuff, and she has the number one item, which she'll explain it for two.
Okay, and she's going to tell us how it's the most prosthetic item?
Yeah,
what is the most valued, like the most things that I bought.
Okay.
What's up?
Well, wouldn't it be like something like a prosthetic leg or something would be the most valuable?
But the most prosthetic item is this, though.
You're missing the point. Like, none of us guessed that
no,
word.
No, I understand. John, I'm not missing the point. I that was as clear as day to me.
Should we even take the call?
No.
Does this even has anything to do with what Bird typed up there?
Just, okay. Anna, hello.
Yes, this is... Does Bird have Down syndrome?
Okay, well,
that's not nice.
Come on.
Stop saying that.
I had to dump that.
All right. The most prosthetic item is this. Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling she wasn't even saying prosthetic.
No. Without a doubt.
Or if she was, it wasn't the most prosthetic.
No. Fred, I don't know. I don't know what happens in that filter between Bird hearing something and going. It's like, remember that game you used to play to your kid called Telephone, where there'd be like all 14 kids in the class, they whisper to each other.
Yeah, you could go like, I like the color red to Bird, you'd be first, and he would just turn around and he'd go, monkeys fling poo.
Yeah, right. I mean, he's a one-man telephone game.
Yeah.
It just takes one person to completely screw up the message.
It's amazing. And he's also a man who'd like just get up during segments and start making food. And then they'll go like, well, you guys don't take a lot of phone calls. And we would say, yes, we don't take a lot of phone calls. But, you know, your job is to answer the phone.
The eagle is right. Prosthetic. Even though you said
provocative.
Yes. Okay. All right. Someone said Curry College must hate you guys.
really I think not they our should fault. Look in a mirror.
Really not our fault at all.
No.
I would love, how the hell did he graduate college? Unless he's like just out of practice thinking. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like everything has been so manual for so long. Like, and he doesn't have to pay bills or anything. I'm wondering if he just is out of practice. I'm not joking either. Like thinking. Like his brain is deteriorated in that form. He should take like a foreign language class or something. Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, hey. So I got a barbershop story in, of all places, Florida, which I know will shock you. So I'm in the Air Force. I need a haircut. I go to this place in a strip mall. They're like 10 deep guys waiting. I walk in. The guy goes, take a number, go see the girl. So I take a number. I go in the back, and there's a strip club in the back.
Of the barbershop?
Of the
Yeah.
And it wasn't advertised or anything? It was just like an underground strip club?
Oh, no. And I was like, why are there so many people waiting? Well, I figured out there were another 7 seats in the back, and it was just a girl dancing on a bar in lingerie.
And so the idea was while people were waiting, you could make a little extra cash on the side.
The guy was brilliant because, you know, how many times do you walk into a barbershop and go, I'm not waiting here for this?
Right.
People.
And I want to know what's going on with the 10 guys up front. I mean, there's a good little sexy lingerie thing going on in the back.
So I'll tell you, you go in the back, your number gets you. So you go in, you sit down, and then when they call you, eventually they call your number, and it's just like a conga line going through. And then eventually you're waiting to get your hair cut.
So, wow. So this guy, did you ever go back there?
Yeah, what are you kidding me?
Oh, so you didn't even have to pay. You just, that was a way to keep you around.
Well, you tipped the girl, obviously.
Sure,
you threw
sure.
a buck or two. But my barbershop had Archie comics when I was growing up. So this was like heaven.
Yeah, that is, if you have willing participants, why not? Doesn't seem to be breaking any laws.
I think I might have actually found this place online. Oh, wow. Florida Barbershop Strip Club gives new meaning to Barber's Bowl.
Fort Lauderdale? Where is it?
This is in Orange County, Florida. Now, I guess they got shut down.
Where I went to college is Orange County, Florida.
Is it really? Yeah, I guess they got shut down. Investigators conducted their research over a course of a month and found that the strip club operation was not a one-time deal. Every Saturday... Oh, no, this is different. Every Saturday night, the barber poles became stripper poles and illegal alcohol was sold. So what happened was they shut down the barber shop and then on Saturday night turned it into a strip club, which is even better.
Because my question is this, is that if your barbershop was for adults, could they shut you down based on a clothed woman dancing willingly in back?
If she's clothed, probably not.
Yeah, and then you're not paying for anything.
Yeah, probably not.
So it's just a good idea.
That is strange.
I mean, it would be like the Claremont Lounge. You'd at least go once.
Right, just for the freak show of it and go, okay, well, that's interesting.
Yeah, all right. This should make you feel better, Rich. Mm-hmm. Peter, go ahead. Peter, go ahead.
Hey, guys, hey.
Hey.
So when I was younger, I had a roommate die in a car accident. And so his parents and the chaplain came around to clean out his stuff, and we should have had the foresight to do it, but they started going through his nightstand, and they found, like, vibrating cock rings. And
all right, well, you can't say that.
Okay.
All right, maybe we should...
Maybe we move on.
Maybe we move on.
There. Yeah. All I know is that when my father died, he tried to be all tricky and show the world that he wasn't smoking anymore, and everyone knew he was, and when he died, we might have found... My brother counted. I think we found 260 lighters.
Jesus.
Just all around the house. Like, just little places he would just hide out and smoke so no one would know he was smoking, but everyone knew he was smoking.
260 lighters?
Oh, yeah. They're all empties. Like the little Bic ones. You know, the ones...
Yeah, yeah.
He would, like, smoke it. Because, you know, if you threw it away, maybe, you know, my mother would find it in the trash can or whatever.
Right.
So he just kind of stashed them in little places around the house. And my brother said, I think he found, like, 260 lighters.
Jesus.
Even though we all knew. It's like, all right, we know you're smoking.
I mean, there's a time where you could just go, I'm going to take 100 of these and just take them out and put them in the garbage can myself.
Sure. I mean, you could have, but, you know, you kind of had the thing going.
It's like, it's my house.
Sure. I'll do it in my own time.
Yeah.
Or I'll wait to die and my sons will do it for me.
Yeah. I mean, that's almost like they've left you with one last monumental task. It's like a little trick that they left you with, a little practical joke. Yes, if I've thought about it. If my parents passed away and I was going through their house, I would definitely read the diary.
Okay, so
until it got too boring.
I put that up. I said, if your parents passed away and you found a diary that was hidden deep in a wall, would you A, read it or immediately burn it? And just I had it up for like the last 5 minutes or so. And after 570 votes, 61% say read it and 39% say immediately burn it. One guy says, not enough kerosene in the world to do this quickly and thoroughly enough. And I'm on team burn it.
I don't know what could possibly have been going on. I mean, my father just walked around. I was telling someone the other day, my father would get very upset. First of all, if my mother and I were arguing, you would hear. And my father would come down in a bathrobe, generally not tied and generally not wearing underwear.
Yes.
And start screaming at me, just standing like that. And there was nothing worse than when you would hear, my dad hated this. I think he's talked about it on the air. And you'd hear, Dad! Mig's over. Damn it.
You have to go back upstairs?
Yeah. Then he'd have to like
now I'm going
to
tie this thing together.
No, he'd have to put on his tidy whiteys and tie the rope.
Oh,
yeah. One of my kids was freaking out a couple years ago. They have a bedroom right next. They share a bedroom at my parents' place right next to their bedroom. And one of my kids was freaking out, and my mom was somewhere. And my dad went in there, and he just went in with tidy whiteys. And they couldn't stop laughing, and they cured everything. My dad didn't do anything. Just walks
it's
around
all
with these
on purpose. Yeah.
And no matter what his weight fluctuations, the tidy whiteys stay the same. So there can be a gigantic, a lot of room between the leg portion and the actual tidy whiteys.
Sure.
So they're hanging there for all to see because the touchers have no asses. The male touchers. So very hard to keep up the tidy.
The legs just go right into the back.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
All the weight goes right to there where you want it, right there in your gut, the healthy place, the place that causes all the diseases. All right. When we come back, Gary Washburn will join us, and he will tell us about what he's found in people's houses.
Miss something?
Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
Say at the very beginning of the year is we don't want to be a team quoted of unnamed sources. So if you're going to say something, you got to put your name next to it. And Marcus's frustrations were obvious and evident. And you know what? In a lot of ways, I thought he said a lot of stuff that you can't really argue in the last two games. And so we need to be a lot better than we were at finishing out games and handling adverse situations in games. And go from there, but you know, as long as we can put our name next to it, I'm good.
Fox Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Gary Washburn not answering the phone.
Well, that's convenient.
He used to do 720.
Yep.
Let me see if they have the same number for him as I do.
In the meantime, yesterday, Marcus Morris was asked about his comments that he made Saturday night. Many people thought, okay, well, now that you have a little bit of a clear head, you might have been somewhat hot after that horrible loss, which, as Gary Washburn said, he says it's the most embarrassing regular season loss of the Brad Stevens era. I actually agree with that. I mean, you lose after leading by 28 points in the first half. You have the best first half that you have had in the Brad Stevens era. What was it, 74 points? I mean, it was ridiculous. They absolutely dominated that team. And then you come back and have your worst half as a team in the same game and just let them come back and beat you by 10 after being up 28. Marcus Morris was obviously hot. He called out the entire team. Well, he was asked yesterday whether or not he still stands by his comments.
How did the team respond to what you said the other night?
For the most part, you know, everybody agreed with me. Coach, you know, he thought it was, you know, right thing to say. No, and it's more to the fact of, you know, I could have basically kept that in house and, you know, and talked to, you know, my teammates. But you guys caught me at a good time. I was hot. You know, I spoke what was real. You know, I didn't take it out of context or point anybody out. I just said as a whole, I just felt like, you know, we got to enjoy this process. And, you know, when we up 20 or 30, it has seemed like we're up 20 or 30, you know, and I think that stretches out, you know, around the league.
Do you think your teammates took the message the right way?
Yeah. Watched some film. We watched a couple clips, and, you know, guys understood what I was saying, and, you know.
None of this matters unless they go out and play well. I mean, we've had a lot of conversations, and Fred has brought this up multiple times this morning. There have been team meetings. There have been, you know, Kyrie Irving, I need to lead more, all of this stuff, and none of it matters unless people follow through and are spurred on to greatness by what Morris is talking about.
All right, Gary Washburn, Celtics beat writer for the Globe, joins us on the Volkswagen. That was a healthy breath, Fred. Joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Mr. Gary Washburn.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good. You've had a lot of interesting things to say recently. Let's start off with the worst loss of the Brad Stevens era, that game against the Clippers. What was your thinking behind that?
I think in regular season, you can include, let's say, Game 7 to the Cavs and that. You know, just not, you know, just the most impactful loss in terms of losses. But regular season, yeah. I mean, that's the worst I've seen in the 6 years he's been here. The Clippers got within 10. I mean, the Celtics played scared. I don't think I've seen them play scared before. As if we know we're going to get caught. We know we're not playing the right way. And we know we can't do anything about it. It just felt that way. Like, you just knew the Clippers were going to come back and win that game. And that was kind of indicative of what was going on there. So, yeah, I definitely think that was the worst loss of his tenure.
All right, so I've been making the point that it just seems that this team is constantly talking and constantly having player meetings. And, you know, it just doesn't seem to be working, and it seems to be a lot. And then you think about NBA teams and how they handle the regular season. You know, this team has been winning, and it just seems like there's a lot to do about not that the stuff that's not that big a deal in February in the NBA. What did you make about Marcus Morris coming out? Do you think that's his place as a player on this team to do so? And do you think that they're talking an awful lot, maybe more than is necessary?
I think Morris's role on this team is kind of like a leader, a vocal leader, a veteran. This team doesn't have a whole lot of veterans. I mean, in terms of, like, Horford leads by example. You know, he's a quiet leader. You know, he's a family man. He's 32. A lot of the younger players, they look up to him. They can't really relate to him. And you have Hayward, who can't really be a leader at this point because he's just still trying to come back and prove he can play. And then you've got the Kyrie leadership. Kyrie has the most clout in the locker room, but also kind of this is what you guys need to do. The pointed advice might not translate well. Morris is, like the uncle of the locker room in a sense. He's been around. He's been with a few teams. He's had his ups and downs. So he can tell some of the players about the business of the league, about how unforgiving the league is, about how, you know, every place isn't as good as here in Boston in terms of an environment. So I think he had every right to say what he said if that's how he feels. I don't think he was kind of out of line or anything like that. But I do think he's kind of the conscience of the locker room. He senses what's going on. He wants to win. He's the last year of his contract. This is the best situation he's ever been in. I mean, he's been in Phoenix and Detroit before, and Houston. You know, so this is a guy who cherishes this moment, and I think he wants his teammates to feel the same, that it isn't promised to go to playoffs every year. It isn't promised to be one of the contending teams. And I think maybe some of those other guys, the younger guys, feel like it is promised because that's all they've done.
Okay, so you said something watching that game, and you said when they got down to being only up by 10, you just knew that they were going to lose that game. That is the opposite of how you felt last year. Like, last year, no matter what, even when they were down, you always thought, because of the hustle, because many people said Brad Stevens always has these guys playing to their maximum potential, that they were ready to play. What has changed from last year to this year?
I just think that there's guys trying to do too much, and then guys doing too much, and then when it doesn't work, putting their head down, not getting back on defense, not forgetting about that play, letting it spill over to other plays. Just slippage. Overall slippage. Not where guys are trying to do something wrong. It's just guys are trying to do too much, and when it doesn't work, because when you try to do too much, anything, it doesn't work. Then a slip on defense. They miss an assignment. They let Landry Shamet open for a three-pointer and just hit three previous three-pointers. Or something bad happens when you put your head down or go, oh, damn. I mean, and that's what some's been doing. It's not all going to work. Like, everything isn't going to be rosy all the time. The Celtics have to do better with adversity. Teams are going to make runs. The Clippers are not, we're not going to lay down 68-40. No team does. And this is the NBA. You guys know this. I mean, the Pats were down 28-3. Did they lay down? No. Obviously, the Super Bowl. But no team in professional sports just lays down. Very few do. So, teams are going to make runs. The Clippers are going to cut the lead to 14. But you stop it there. You make a run, and then you restore order. The Celtics just let these things turn into brush fires. And that's the problem. It's the lack of, like, fortitude, the lack of mental toughness to deal with adversity when things aren't going great. Just like these things, the Lakers game kind of spilled over because once the Lakers loss happened and then the Clippers lead, the Celtics said, we can't lose this lead. We can't lose this lead. And that's the whole second half. We can't blow this. And they do. Instead of thought about it too much. And you just saw in their eyes, like, they're not making winning plays. They're trying to do too much because they're trying to avoid the embarrassment.
All right, Gary, it's all good stuff. Your phone is pretty crackly.
Good enough.
Crackly. So we'll let you go. But thank you so much for the time, Gary Washburn from the Boston Globe.
Thanks.
All right, see you, man. I
appreciate it.
Once again, if it's going to happen, this is the way you want to be embarrassed. You want to have two absolutely humiliating losses in a row in the middle of essentially a big chunk of winning. I mean, they've won 10 out of the last 13. However, they've had these major problems for a while now.
Perfect as a teaching tool for the head coach, but it also goes to leadership on the floor. You have to have a guy out there that holds everyone accountable.
And Marcus Smart, I thought, was that guy. And maybe you need a little more. Maybe Marcus Smart needs to be more vocal.
But Kyrie Irving is a self-appointed guy. I mean, he went out of his way to say, this is my team. And right now, your team is not playing the way it should. And Kyrie Irving needs to get back in the lineup.
Kyrie Irving also wasn't on the court for most of that.
I understand
second
game. But I mean, this
and that's
is
when they fell apart.
This is a time where you have to lead. And by the way, the Celtics on the road without Irving have been horrible the last year, and they're playing a real big game on the road without him tonight. So I mean, there has to be a standard by which Kyrie holds everyone accountable to. I mean, if he's going to be the leader, it's time to lead right now. I mean, there aren't many games left anymore. And you're going to be on the road for at least one playoff series and probably two.
Was I the only one when I watched that Lakers game that thought that Kyrie Irving was a little intimidated by LeBron James being on the same court?
He said after the game it was the length of the people guarding him that made his offense go sideways. Brandon Ingram is a tall guy with a long reach, and Irving said that was a big problem, but I got the same vibe you did.
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously he had a bad game, and I think of that phone call that he made to LeBron, where LeBron's almost like, you know, oh, my dad. And that was the only game where I thought maybe LeBron James was in his head.
It's like you're playing your dad before you weren't scared to beat him.
Right.
One-on-one.
That was the vibe I got out of that. But you're right. He can't take any of the blame for that second game because when he was on the court, they had the highest scoring half of the Brad Stevens era. And then once he leaves, they craft themselves. I'm not saying that's the reason. Effort was the reason. But still, I mean, I can't really call him out too much about not being a leader during that game.
I can't beat my son at one-on-one half the time, even if I try, and I block his distance shots. That's how out of shape I am.
On one-on-one basketball?
Like, if I score and it's winners, then I have to take a jump shot the next time.
I got pissed the other day when my son beat me in Mario Kart. I can't beat him anymore. And that's a video game.
My son can beat me in Mario Kart, too.
Like, I actually, and I never thought I would be that guy that would get angry.
No,
But, like, he got kind of cocky, too. He was like, hey, you want to play Mario? He goes, Dad, I don't really want to play anymore. I said, why? He goes, because I always beat you.
My kid isn't talking trash like that.
And he wasn't, and he didn't even mean it as like trash talk. Yeah. He was being completely honest. It's like, it's not fun anymore because you can't even hang.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, kid. And I got angry and I'm like, let's sit down and do it. And sure enough, he kicked my ass 4 games in a row. And I'm like, all right, maybe you're right.
It's time to go. Yeah.
Yeah. My son's trying to teach me Fortnite because that's all he talks about. And then he'll, when I sit down, he gets impatient and just takes the controller. I said, this is no way to teach someone.
That's right. Your son's very cocky, as I found out during Pucks and Panels. Very cocky, yes.
Boy, what was he doing?
Well, we were talking. I think I told you this story. He was, like, playing ping pong on one of the back tables near the bar. And I said, Milo, are you any good at ping pong? And he looks at me, I'm better than you.
That's right. That's a classy young man.
Very
been
good.
Raised right.
Good to see you.
That's a kid who's been taught to respect his elders. It's good parenting right there. We'll be back. Here are the headlines.
Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
We had so much fun. Our fans are effing awesome, though, I'll tell you.
5 seconds frozen on the clock. The Patriots with a 13-3 lead over the Rams. Tom Brady, about to be a 6-time champion, takes the snap, drops to the knee. And the Patriots have won their 6th Super Bowl title. In the early 2000s, they won 3 of 4. Now they have won 3 of the last 5. Yes, it's still a dynasty.
Let the vocals ride? Come on, baby.
And then it stops.
Matter of fact, it sounded just like that when Fred saw them live about two years ago.
Where I left before the song was over. I said, I can't take that.
David Lee Roth not quite hitting those notes anymore.
Right. All right. So Kyler Murray, everyone knows now, has opted to join the NFL draft. Apparently the A's are not done trying to convince him otherwise. And they're thinking about, I don't know how you get through the agreement with the league and the Players Association, but they're talking about giving him a major league contract.
So they're still trying to negotiate with him.
Yes, and they're because the way that it is now and the way that baseball's set up is there's rules in place for bonuses and things of that nature.
Ooh, you want to hear something kind of cool regarding that? Ian Rappaport tweeted something this morning, and this really makes sense. He said something that he heard from an NFL GM last night. Said Kyler Murray has power to dictate his draft spot like no one else since Eli Manning. Said if he so desires, Murray can tell a team primed to draft him, quote, don't bother, I'll play baseball. It adds a fairly fascinating dynamic.
It's interesting. Pro Football Talk followed that up with saying that Murray told Florio last week he wouldn't do that. So, again, take that for what it's worth.
So let's say Miami is, like, primed to get him. He doesn't want to play for Miami.
You can say, no, I'll just go play for Oakland.
Listen, man, I'm good. I'm good. I mean,
it's true. It's true.
It's
you
a pretty
can
good
do
position
that.
For him to be
you,
in.
You can do that. Now, he said he wouldn't, but we're still 2 months away from the draft.
Okay, so according to, I think it was Jason Lockenfor or somebody yesterday, had tweeted that he spoke to 6 different GMs in the NFL, and or there were 6 that told him that they believed Kyler Murray would get drafted in the first round. And obviously this is something that probably led him to his decision to go into the NFL draft. Right. Money-wise, it's like, you know, he gives up the $5 million that he was given by the Athletics, but you are going to get at least $5 million guaranteed if you're in the first round, and then there's another $5 million, I think, on top of that. I think $10 million if you're in
plus
the first round.
Plus if he
total.
Plays football. And see, some people are saying this, if he plays football and it doesn't succeed, he can go to baseball, where I would make the argument that the opposite is better. And you've seen it with guys like Drew Henson that made $5 billion with the Yankees, even though I don't think he ever played a major league game, is that you can play baseball and then if it doesn't work out, turn around and play football. I mean, it happens. So, I mean, you can go and make a lot of money playing baseball and then, you know, if things don't work out. Plus, I mean, the A's had options. I mean, you could go and sign him and put him in the majors the first game of the year and then renegotiate his contract.
But if you
I mean, there's things that you could have done.
But if you get drafted for a first round in the NFL, you're essentially getting $40 million, right?
Right.
Okay. So there's $40 million sitting right there for it.
A 4 or 5 year guaranteed contract.
Okay. But if I play 4 years in baseball and then I'm 25 years old and I declare for the NFL draft, where do I get taken? I mean, that's
a lot lower.
How much lower? Because we've seen guys get taken.
It's tougher to go the other way. Very. It's much tougher to go the other way.
From football to baseball?
Yes.
Yeah, baseball to football. Yeah. Yes. Or, I'm sorry, football to baseball.
Football to baseball, much tougher to
much
go
tougher,
the other way.
Right.
Oh, look at Tim Tebow. What are you talking about?
Yeah, he's going to make, I'm telling you, they're going to put, they're going to bring him up.
If he was with any other organization, he would not. But no. Because it's the Mets, and he's really not that good a minor leaguer, they're going to promote him.
They are going to promote him.
Sure, that's he's going to suck, sell some tickets.
I have some more mock drafts for Kyler Murray. Earlier on in the program, I had looked at 6 mock drafts, and none of them had Murray slipping out of the first round, and a lot of them had Murray going in the top 15. I'm looking at NFL.com. There are 4 mock drafts, all updated within the last week or two. This is before yesterday, and he officially declared he was going to play football, which means that his draft stock would be higher. I have one that has him being drafted 10th by Denver. I have one. Now, this is by Lance Zierlein, who upgraded his mock draft last week before Murray declared that he was going to focus on football. He had Murray going 4th to John Gruden and the Oakland Raiders. And 2 guys that I think more people have heard of, Bucky Brooks and Daniel Jeremiah, who have written for the NFL Network and worked hard for the NFL Network, they have Kyler Murray going 32nd.
Okay.
To your New England Patriots. Okay,
let's get to that. All right, then let's talk about that.
Okay, we will in 1 second. I will say this, is that if Kyler Murray was in last year's draft, he wouldn't have been a first-round pick.
Correct.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you're right.
Correct.
And I think a lot of people are saying that as well.
And also,
it's just funny how the NFL works.
Yep. Yeah.
That it just entirely based on who's available in that draft.
Okay, so what do we
reach for a quarterback?
What do we know about Kyler Murray? What's the first thing you're going to hear?
Size.
Tiny. He's 5'9 and 175?
175, 180.
Okay, 175, 180. Yep. So if he indeed ends up falling down to the bottom of the first round and he's there when the Patriots have their pick, would they want to go after him? Now, Phil Perry, who obviously does a great job covering the team for NBC Sports Boston, he wrote an article this morning about whether or not the Patriots should consider Kyler Murray. Not only should consider, would they consider Kyler Murray? And he makes an argument on both sides of it. First of all, he talks about whether or not Kyler Murray, whether they should make the leap. And he says, here's why they should. The Patriots haven't been haunted by their decision to deal away Jimmy Garoppolo. Hard to be devastated by prospects of your future at the game's most important position when you're still brushing confetti out of your hair. Yet while Tom Brady, who still carries a $27 million cap hit next year and appears due for an extension, it still looks like he'll be going strong for another couple of years. At some point, Belichick and his staff are going to have to look for the future. Murray will almost certainly fall in the draft because of his size, meaning the Patriots, perennially picking at the bottom of the first round, could have a rare but realistic shot at one of the best quarterbacks in the draft. In a league where mediocre quarterbacks rarely become available in free agency and where it costs buttloads in terms of draft capital to be able to maneuver up in a draft to select a coveted passer, Murray will probably represent significant value for a team that can get over his height. He said, we'll get to Murray's height in a minute, but his other physical traits would seem to make offensive coordinators drool. His arm appears long enough to function in December and January in Foxborough. His instincts are to play from behind the line, but his legs have enough juice that'll make snaps look pretty even when they shouldn't. All right, that's why they think they should take him.
Kyler Murray will not play for at least 2 years if he gets here, correct?
Yeah,
yep. At least two, maybe three.
Right? Then he'll grow about five inches and put on 100 pounds.
He's drinking milk, Fred.
Basically, what we were just talking about, you know what, screw this. I'm not going to go to the Patriots. I'm going to go play baseball, I would think, if it gets to that point. But every mock draft I've looked at in the last 12 hours tells me that there's no way in hell he's falling to the Patriots unless they trade up.
I just think it's so funny that this kid, I don't know if he would have been taken before Lamar Jackson, but that this kid's a top 13 pick when last year there's not a chance in hell he would have gotten taken ahead of any of those quarterbacks.
And you know what? Some of these quarterbacks, like Drew Locke of Missouri, that kid from Duke, the guy from Ohio State, Haskins, I mean, they have NFL teams taking those 3 guys ahead of Murray in a couple of these drafts.
That's right. Well, the Jets trade down. But or you could wait next year and take the kid from Oregon, who's actually a very good prospect. When's the kid from Georgia come out?
Next year, right?
Next year. So you have the kid from Oregon and
the kid from Georgia was a true... Oh, not Georgia. I'm thinking of the Clemson kid. My mistake. Yes.
Yeah.
Fromm.
So Fromm and the kid from Oregon.
But Fromm's going to go way early. Like, Fromm's a stud.
No, what I'm saying is if I'm not even talking about the Patriots. I'm talking about if you're a team that's thinking about drafting Kyler Murray, that chances are you're going to suck next year too. When there's two guys that could be franchise-type quarterbacks coming out in the draft, why the hell wouldn't you wait?
Well, first of all, is when you look at the Patriots, is quarterback who you want to – is that the position you want to use your first-round pick
on? Well, that's the question all the time, is that do you stock up for the future or do you want to win now?
Depends. I mean, that's the thing. With Trey Flowers as a free agent, maybe you concentrate on an edge rusher. I mean, they always need help at linebacker. I understand Dante Hightower and Kyle Van Noy played very, very well, but that position's older. Maybe you want to draft a linebacker and get younger. I mean, there are a lot of places you can go other than quarterback.
Well, then, by the way, Phil Perry makes this point. He goes, well, here's why the Patriots should take a pass on Kyler Murray. He goes, the Patriots have a type at quarterback. They have a type at most positions since they've had the same head coach and general manager since 2000. Plenty of draft data to show from which to draw. He goes, Belichick usually takes quarterbacks who played in Power 5 conferences and are 6'3" or taller, though their lone first or second round selection, Garoppolo, was 6'2" and played FCS football. Their career touchdown to interception ratio averaged out to be about 2-1, and their yards per attempt was often 7.5 or better, and they normally completed better than 60% of their passes. They said that this guy is apparently in most of the statistical marks with no problem. Size-wise, though, they couldn't be more screwed. The Patriots might be more intrigued by someone like Missouri's Drew Locke, who is 6'4", 225 pounds. He's bigger, has more experience as a starter, and played in the SEC, where defenses are considered vastly superior to those that Murray saw in the Big 12.
How much of the offense do you have to change if you draft this kid?
Everything.
All, right?
Everything.
Unless I missed something, he's exclusively a shotgun quarterback, correct?
I would imagine.
Yeah.
But what were they willing to do for Garoppolo?
I think Garoppolo was an under-center guy.
Mold, yeah.
I mean, I think Garoppolo was an under-center, and he's taller.
Well, most kids that come out are take, for the vast majority of snaps, out of the shotgun, but I'm not positive that Kyler Murray could not take snaps out of the shotgun.
I mean, you have to change your offense.
Especially at his size.
Yes.
Just the ability to see the field. I mean, he's tiny.
Yep. Tiniest quarterback since Flutie. Seriously.
Yeah. And then the thing is that maybe he's good. Like, maybe he comes out swinging. How long can that guy survive in the NFL? I mean, there's guys that can run 4.4s. Like John's been saying, there's outside linebackers that can run 4.4s.
That are 6'4", 260.
Yeah, that could destroy you.
I don't care how fast that kid is. These linebackers are going to get an angle on him and destroy him for a couple. I mean, even if the kid runs out of bounds or learns how to slide, like so many mobile quarterbacks have not been able to do, he's just so small.
Or Aaron Donald comes up the middle and
yes,
hits you.
Who's pretty quick himself.
Yeah. That's a grown man. That's not some guy playing in the Big 12.
You have a 5'9 kid trying to throw. I mean, not all defensive linemen are 6'6, but there are offensive linemen that are. I mean, you got to figure out a way to find passing lanes if you're 5'9. It seems like such a big risk.
It does.
To draft that kid with a first round pick.
Yep. All right. We'll be back. Billy Jaffe's going to join us in studio. He was out last night doing the big Northeastern victory.
And one of the longest replay reviews, the longest replay review I've ever seen, ever. Over a 6-minute replay review in the first period of the Beanpot last night.
And it's the only time that you hear people talk about going to Northeastern is when they win the Beanpot. I mean, it really is. Like, no one, like, pops off about Northeastern, and then as soon as they win
now everyone's like, yeah!
Yeah.
Back to back, baby!
All right, we'll be right back.
Let's do something crazy.
Wake up with Toucher and Rich.
Oh, boy, that's dumb.
Just tell your smart speaker to play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. I'm watching a school closing things and all the things that's going on. I mean, you can never say that Newton's not hardcore. Nothing popping up. Not even about PM activities.
Really?
Nope.
Oh my!
I kept looking. Yeah, they've gotten rid of the PM activities.
We got an email at about 6:30 last night that PM activities were closed, and nothing's moving.
It's just a little more hardcore.
I understand.
East of you.
I understand.
That's where they make them a little bit tougher.
Mm.
Right there in the Newt.
Got the extra cash for the extra snowplows, apparently.
Please. The snowplows?
Oh, I'm sorry?
No, they have drones.
I got it.
With blow dryers on them.
Right.
Okay. Heat drones.
Yeah, sure.
For the individual houses.
Snowmageddon is here.
Oh, my. You would think the next 5 hours.
Is it really
going to
be that bad?
Yeah, starting at 2, it's going to be, they're saying if you live like west of Framingham, you're getting, did they say 7 inches?
It's 4 to 6 in that whole belt.
And
there.
Here in Boston, we're supposed to get like around 5 inches.
Yeah, that's pretty much uniform right out to past where I live. Yes.
Yeah, but it's all supposed to come down during the afternoon drive.
That's the thing. It's all in a certain window.
I am planning
window.
On going to the garden early tonight, getting on the road early, get in, do my work there. It's just easier. Your car's parked inside. I mean, we have garage too at home, but it's just easier. Get to the garden, cover it up. Then I get home and then I get a snowplow in the driveway.
I love Blizzard games on TV. Like when you're watching like a Bruins game and there's like 18 people
there. That's right.
Those are awesome. They got to be fun to do too.
Yeah. I think there'll be more people than you realize.
Today, yeah, I don't think it's going to be like insane.
No.
I remember a couple years ago when it was just awful for a stretch of like 2 months in a row. It was like 2015.
Yeah, it was every Sunday or Monday we would get blasted. 5 to 9 inches. Remember we had 100, I think it was 109 inches from early mid-January until the end of February. I missed going up. I had to travel every week to Canada then.
Yeah.
3-4 times I couldn't get up there. I mean, literally, I couldn't get up ready to change flights because every Sunday or Monday, we would get not like 2 inches, significant snowfall. And you had the banks that were 8 to 10 feet high. Remember the crews had put
there? There was a time where my kids were younger. So it's 4 years ago. So my son was 6, my daughter was 3. And so my son climbed up a snowbank and was like touching the street sign. And then, you know, when your kids are that little, you're all paranoid. And I couldn't see him. Mm-hmm. So I went around the snowbank and I stepped in it. And the snow came up to like the bottom of my mouth.
Yeah.
And it was the only time this ever happened to me. And I panicked.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to be buried alive.
Avalanche.
In snow.
Oh, sure.
I was going to be buried alive in snow. So I started like swimming out of it frantically. Like my heart rate was probably 300. I was like, ah.
Well, do you remember, I think it was 2015 when there was that snow farm that was by the seaport that was still there in June.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, they found confetti in it, right?
Well, not like just confetti. They found, people, there was like bikes, underwear. Like people had like had left stuff in there and just started dumping it in the snow pile because it would be covered up by it. And so when it melted, there was a bunch of people's trash that they had left in there.
That was I said after that if, and I'm dead serious, because there's a point in life where there's things more important than, you know, stability and all this stuff. I mean, there's a point where like you're living in hell. That was hell.
Yeah. 2 years in a row was hell.
So I said, my wife and I decided that if this continues to happen, we're moving. If this is like a regular thing, we're moving.
Where are you going to move? Florida, where you can then have hurricanes every year?
Alligators?
No, I wouldn't move to Florida because I'm not trash. But what I would do is that, at least I don't think I am, is that I could move pretty much anywhere else and not get snow like this.
San Diego, man. That would suck.
The place. Well, I have to go where I could get a job. Yeah. But no, there's many places. I mean, I don't have to live where it's warm.
Okay.
As if to live where
you don't. I didn't know if you were one of those guys just going to seek warmth. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, when I'm done, I'm
seeking warmth. I don't know about I can't speak for him. But
I know. I'm looking for Sunbelt.
See, I'll have the place in Knoxville. I'm going Charleston.
That's a nice town.
That's not bad.
That's a nice town.
If I was to retire today, I would keep my parents' house in Knoxville and I'd rock Charleston a little bit. But then who knows? One of my kids could be in Omaha, Nebraska, and I'll have to get a place there.
I like Omaha. I've actually been there.
I haven't. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who lives there, and he's very lonely.
Really?
Yeah, because not a lot of people moving to Omaha.
Does he not have anybody in his life?
Yeah, they get married. No, he's a big fatso.
Is it the home of, is it the home of 311?
Very well might be.
I think they are from Omaha, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, he has a rough go.
Good hockey town, by the way, Omaha.
I would imagine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good town for sitting and staring at the wall, too.
Yes.
Absolutely. All right. No commercials here, just the headlines.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're a member FDIC.